Fall is just around the corner, and home is the center of it all. At Ashley, seasonal decorating's a breeze with their range of designs and materials. Snuggle up on a family-friendly sectional or an ultra-modern sofa. Or gather outside and enjoy the crisp, cool air with a new fire pit or conversation set. From minor refreshes to total overhauls, Ashley has the essentials to make your home fall functional and fabulous. Shop in-store or visit ashley.com today.
Is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Oh yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yeah, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Take charge of your upgrades at T-Mobile.com.
Phone now via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. 1 year upgrade requires financing, qualifying device, and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
We have to get to Niners and Rams in the NFC West. We also have to talk about the Bengals dropping into an 0-2 hole for the second straight year. How about overtime between the Seahawks and the Lions, as well as the Titans needing overtime? Goodness, did you see what the New York Giants did on Sunday afternoon as they were snatching victory from the jaws of defeat? There's a lot to talk about. The Super Bowl champion Chiefs as well. The Commanders in Denver. This NFC East division, I mean, it's stacking up, or starting out, I should say, to be just as tough, if not tougher, than a year ago. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Please find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Love to connect with you during football season. And thank you for all of your kind words over the course of the last 24 hours. Yes, in fact, Sunday, 3 months out, it'll be an NFL Sunday, just like it was today, but I will not care. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you can find my Twitter. Also on our Facebook page, we're asking you, where's your temptation to overreact through 2 weeks? It is an NFL Sunday. We are NFL fans. That means sometimes we get a little bit over our skis. So where are you tempted to overreact and to think illogically, irrationally after a second weekend on the NFL slate? Still a couple games to come on Monday Night Football. As we saw in New England just a few hours ago, Tua and Tyreek and Raheem Mostert, oh yeah, they are locked into a rhythm already, and yet it's the defense that made such a big difference. The defense with a couple of reviews that went the Dolphins' way.
Jones back in the shotgun, now moves Stevenson into the right slot. Jones waits. Here's the snap. Back to pass on fourth down. Rush coming. Throws left. Gesicki makes the catch at the 30, but he is wrapped up. He is taken backwards. He flips it back to an old lineman who is wrapped up, driving forward, close to a first down. He flipped it back to Cole Strange, and it's going to be a first down.
Oh, my gosh. I've never seen that before. Get the ball to your athletes in space, number 69, Cole Strange.
The first down is under further review.
Each week you want to just get better and better as the, you know, season goes on. But now we got to focus on our next opponent, which is a home opener against Denver. So we have the 24-hour, 48-hour rule, and then it's grind time.
Big game for Raheem Mostert. The Dolphins moved to 2-0. The call there of what was effectively the end of the game on the Westwood One radio network. Right now, since he's done writing, we're pleased to welcome Dave Hyde of the South Florida Sun Sentinel, a columnist who covers these Dolphins. Big picture, Dave, through two games, what are a couple takeaways for you?
Well, the big picture is, first, they won two games on the road, coast to coast, L.A. and New England. So just start there. That's the big picture, that they went on to, you know, two long trips, two big games, and come out with two W's. And the first one was all offense. The second one, the defense really saved them in a lot of areas on Sunday against New England. You know, they were put in a few spots there by blocked field goal, by the decision to go for a field goal with a 55-yarder there in the end, and which gave New England the ball at the Patriot 45. There were a lot of spots where the defense had to come through Sunday night. So, you know, like everything else at this point, 2 weeks are still a work in progress, but it's a pretty good work in progress when you look across what they've done.
No doubt. And thinking about this AFC East matchup with the Patriots, a couple of times there are reviews on plays, either third down or fourth down, and we're talking about a couple of inches, including the very last offensive play for the Patriots that includes a lateral.
Yeah, it was almost a few years ago when Adam Gase was a Dolphin coach. They had the lateral down the field to kick off to win it when Gronkowski, of all players, was the safety for the Patriots. So it was almost like revenge of the lateral here. But, you know, and that was a pretty smart play by Mike Gesicki to throw the lateral. Unfortunately for them, in a way, Cole Strange, the guard, caught it and came up. You know, it looked like it was going to be a great finish there, you know, because it looked like he got the first down and the drama would be building there in the final seconds. But all of a sudden, they reviewed the mark, called him an inch short, and game's quickly over just like that. So the Dolphins made just enough big plays to win. It looked like it was going to be a real comfortable game for them for a while. And then, you know, there in the end, the Patriots came on.
How did the Patriots manage to limit Tyreek Hill, who was coming off a game in which he had more than 200 yards receiving?
When Tyreek Hill was with Kansas City, he had one catch, I think, for 28 yards in a championship game, AFC championship game against New England. So Belichick has some history of, okay, how are we going to deal with Tyreek Hill? And they came out playing three deep safeties, saying, okay, you Dolphins led the league with big plays in the opener against the Chargers. We're not going to allow any big plays. And there was a sub-message in that, I think, that McDaniel and Tua couldn't be patient and just dink and dunk and take what the defense has given them, that they're going to have to throw the big play, and we'll be waiting for that. And you know, Tyreek Hill was part of that. He's been dominant receiver since the time he stepped on the field with the Dolphins. And the fact he had four catches, or what was it, five catches for 40 yards, I believe.
Right.
When that hit. Really, it doesn't measure his impact on the game, and that the Patriots paid so much attention to him. And all, you know, there was one drive where a touchdown drive. Tua's big passes were to Braxton Berrios and River Craycraft, which told you what they were, who they were going to allow beat them, and who they weren't. So. You know, I think both of their game plans worked. Belichick took away Tyreek Hill and the big plays, and yet the Dolphins were smart enough to take what the defense gave them this game.
In this game, it was Raheem Mostert with 120 yards and a couple of touchdowns on 18 carries. The Dolphins able to run the ball effectively, which is certainly a great weapon if they're trying to protect Tua. So let's talk about Tua, Dave, because this has been the major storyline coming into the start of this season. What have you seen with the quarterback so far?
Well, he's not getting touched. I mean, he's been sacked once in two games. He was... The Chargers had two quarterback hits in the first half Sunday. He wasn't touched. Nobody hit him. Part of that's he's really getting the ball out quickly, you know, by play design and by his own ability to, okay, read, throw to the open spot, and rather than waiting for players to get open. So it's a fascinating offense the Dolphins are running with them. Quick, everything's fast. Not just the players are fast, but so are the decisions and his ability to get the ball out, which of course keeps him safe. But you saw him in the opener throw all over the field, and you saw Belichick take away things and demand to do some different things in Sunday night's game. And you know, it says something that the big Dolphins' problem in two games is the exchange from center to quarterback. They had three drops on Sunday. They had a costly one that made them try a 55-yard field goal that was missed, and the Patriots get the ball back. So, but, you know, through two games, two has been pretty much everything you would hope for.
We're spending a few minutes with Dave Hyde, who covers the Dolphins for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So the Dolphins obviously have a lot of promise trying to build on last year's playoff spot in which they used multiple quarterbacks, but it's not just Tua. Where else have you seen the Dolphins over the past couple of years really build up this roster so that it's befitting of a team that can challenge for a division title and a playoff spot?
Yeah, the surprise so far, to be honest, is the offensive line. That came in, everybody in South Florida was like, oh my God, they playing a back. You know, Teron Armstead's been hurt, you know, pretty much all offseason. And through two games, and Kendall Lamb, their backup, who is this guy? And they brought in Isaiah Wynn to play a backup at tackle, but they had to move him to guard because they were having issues there. You know, their story is pretty much every team's story on the offensive line. The problem is for the Dolphin fan for the past 20 years, they've never been able to put together a good offensive line, and yet through two games, it's been really good. I mean, Tua didn't get hit in the first game hardly. And then, as you said, Mostert ran for 121 yards and then 43-yard touchdown. He was untouched going through a hole between the center, Connor Williams, and guard Robert Hunt. If there's anything that says, okay, maybe the Dolphins are really for real right now, it's just that. A lot of the questions have gone away through the first two games.
One of the things that appeals to me about the Dolphins is that they can beat opponents a variety of ways. So as you point out, they had so much offense in the opener. Tua passed for 466 yards. There was this incredible air attack where they were able to just get up and down the field. But it's a little more rough and tumble in this game against the Patriots, being able to win on the road. The only black mark is the kicking game and the special teams. And yet it seems like the Dolphins really can match up a variety of ways with whomever steps on the field against them.
The other team's going to have some firepower too, and that was sort of missing from the Patriots. There's really nobody you feared could beat you quick. Like the Patriots set up out of fear how the Dolphins can have a quick strike. The Patriots, even when they're trying to, it seemed like they had the ball a lot of times on the Dolphins' side of the field, and yet they're having to beat you with 10,000 paper cuts, you know, little passes, and so I think, as this progresses, as you said, the Dolphins can win through. They showed in the first game through a lot of points and throwing the ball over. They can win a more physical matchup as this game was, and their defense turned the ball over three times tonight, which is something that you know, Vic Fangio's defense isn't a finished product yet, but you start to see a lot more signs in the Patriots game than the Chargers game what he wants it to be. And, you know, you're seeing guys emerge like an Andrew Van Ginkle, who, you know, finding a bigger role in this defense. But, yeah, they seem to be just what a lot of us thought when coming into the year. Very talented, and they're, you know, these two wins say something.
Vic Fangio is a former head coach in the NFL, obviously has had some success. What is the focus, or what is the primary objective of his defense as it comes together?
Well, the Dolphins were 24th in third down defense and red zone defense last year. Let's start there. Vic Fangio, the two stats that stand out with his defense, very good on third downs and very good in the red zone. And so it'll be interesting to see how this all works out, because the last few years since under Brian Flores, you know, style defense, the Dolphins led the league in blitzes, and they led the league in man-to-man and press coverage and everything. And Fangio goes the complete opposite way, where he has played zone defenses and not blitzed much. You know, you talk to Javon Holland, he says it's 180 degrees difference for him. And I think there's a process, a learning curve for everybody here. And maybe part of that also is Fangio has to decide, maybe I should blitz more with some of the people I have. So it's not a finished product, but It saved a lot of people tonight.
Dave Hyde of the South Florida Sun Sentinel with us following Sunday Night Football. Dolphins now 2-0 on top of the AFC East. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So let's talk about that, because the AFC East, even in these first 2 weeks, has seen a whole lot of twists and turns. What are your impressions of the East now with everything we've seen in the first couple of weeks?
Yeah, it's the Dolphins or the Bills. I mean, and I think the Dolphins have the better roster. If Tua can keep healthy and keep playing as he is, I think they'd be the team to beat in the AFC East. It's hard to imagine that after what the run the Bills have. But, you know, Josh Allen has to be this guy he was Sunday all the time. He was great against the Raiders. And as bad as he was against the Jets, was as good as he was against the Raiders. So it'll come down. Can Josh Allen carry the torch in the AFC East again? Because I really think the Dolphins have a more complete roster.
Tua obviously went through not just some physical, but some mental challenges coming out of last season. And I think what I've been impressed with so far is how easygoing he seems. Like, there really isn't any fallout. Even his story this week about Teron Armstead and not stopping for him on the side of the road when he was going to the facilities and his car was broken down, he just seems very comfortable. Have you seen any fallout at all from everything that happened last season?
He's been pretty much pretty honest, you know, from the time he came to the Dolphins, even when things weren't going great for him, obviously, with Brian Flores and everything. I remember asking him when all the reports, which were true, of the Dolphins going after Deshaun Watson came out. I remember asking him after a game if he didn't feel wanted by the Dolphins, and he said, "I don't feel not wanted." And so, I mean, he he's always been a very candid, and it seems like to us on this side of the questions up front with all, and obviously he's responded really well to Mike McDaniel, you know, handing the keys to him, saying he's a really good quarterback when there were questions if he was, and it's paid off for both of them. You know, McDaniel came in here and he had two jobs, to win and as importantly, to find out who Tua was last year. And he did both of them. So, but as far as Tua's health, that's going to be, you know, that's an ongoing story. And it has to play out this whole year before anybody can say, okay, maybe that's moving behind him.
So far, so good. Dolphins look good. They've got two road wins, and they're sitting on top of the division. You can find Dave Hyde on Twitter at Dave Hyde Sports, a columnist for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. All right, now there's a lot to talk about with the Dolphins. It's great to catch up with you again, Dave. Thank you so much, and happy football season.
Yeah, thanks, Amy. Good talking to you.
The Dolphins are versatile. It's early, but to me, they feel tough and battle-tested. They've got some veteran guys. Of course, they've got playmakers. It doesn't all rest on Tua, but we know he can win games with his accuracy and his connection with guys like Tyreek and Jalen Waddle, certainly Raheem Mostert. I mean, we saw this last year with Mike McDaniel. It was a big offensive year, even using 3, 4, 7 quarterbacks. Can the defense and special teams carry their weight too? This team should give the Bills a run for their money. Speaking of the Buffalo Bills, they were back in action as well, one of the early games, and fell behind again to the Raiders. So we'll get to them coming up. And at the bottom of the hour, the Niners in what we would call anything but friendly against the Los Angeles Rams. Certainly a different test than what they got from the Steelers in week number one. We're asking you to overreact, or at least recognize where you're tempted to overreact. A lot of you weighing in on Facebook already, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our show Twitter is After Hours CBS. Our phone number 855-212-4227. Even as I talk about overreacting or just reacting, I look up and Ken Dorsey, the offensive coordinator for the Bills, is keeping it as PG and as calm as he possibly can. Remember last year he got caught on tape not only breaking a binder, or I can't remember what it was that he was. Maybe it was a tablet. My gosh, what do people have against tablets? He was smashing a tablet and freaking out in the box where he and the rest of the offensive coaches were. I can't remember what the situation was. I just remember Dorsey having a fit because the Bills didn't get the yardage that they needed, something like that, late in the game. Anyway, he was much more controlled.
Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
Facts are facts, like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
I'm here to tell you about Pom Pom at Home, where comfort meets elegance. Pom Pom at Home is offering 20% off site-wide for a limited time. See why so many of the top designers use Pom Pom's luxury easy care bedding. They have created a timeless, beautiful, coastal living look that incorporates subtle tones and natural fibers, offering a unique touch. Create your dream bed now. Get 20% off sheets, duvets, throws, and more right now at pompomathome.com. Easy to use, easy to love luxury bedding. Just enter code POMPOM at checkout.
Can I get a refill, please?
No one wants to get sidelined by COVID-19, including me. I've got my work, my family. I want to be able to keep my plans. I'm getting this season's COVID-19 shot. It helps protect against COVID-19, which can cause severe illness and hospitalization. Learn about eligibility and schedule your COVID-19 shot on the CDC site vaccines.gov. Sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
Oh, look who's here.
Rolled on Sunday. Glad to have you with us. Hope you enjoyed your weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
First and 10 from the Bills 16. Two tight ends. Snap. Play action to Jacob. Fires Adams at the 15. Has the 10 with the block at the 5. Stiff arm at the 2. Touchdown, Devontae Adams. Raiders march the opening drive. 75 yards for a touchdown to Devontae Adams. His first of the year. And the Raiders go up 6-0 less than 3 minutes into the game here in Buffalo.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody. On After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
The Raiders were able to eke out a win in Denver in their opener. That, of course, was a game against a division opponent. This a little bit different against the Buffalo Bills. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks for hanging out with us on what is a Sunday night into a Monday morning. Our Sunday blowout. I don't know why that was the word that came to mind as I was doing my notes and thinking about the various storylines and headlines and everything we want to get to on this edition of the show. A blowout, if you will. Not quite like a Bills blowout or a Cowboys blowout, but A little bit different. More like a party, I guess. We're going to blow it up here on After Hours. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page. Devontae Adams is catching passes from a third different quarterback now in three seasons. Went from Aaron Rodgers to Derek Carr, now Jimmy Garoppolo, and yet they've already established a connection. I think that's because Devontae is damn good. And he caps their first drive with his own 16-yard touchdown grab. And that was not the only action that he saw. So right away, the Bills, who had a 4-turnover game themselves in the opener. So the Jets have company there, right? A 4-turnover game, and they lost. It was one in which Josh Allen was taking responsibility, and he was a bit dejected. Wanting to stop putting his team in a bad position. We really got to see the emotion with the heart on the sleeve at the post-game press conference last Monday night. And so here they are facing an uphill climb right away. And yet once they found their footing, once they settled in, especially with the fans there in Western New York, it was a whole different story.
Allen under center, fakes the handoff, going to roll to his left, wide open in the end zone for the touchdown, Dawson Knox! A 2-yard touchdown reception for the tight end. Diggs to the right, and now he comes tighter to the formation next to Knox. Back to pass. Josh, under pressure, throws it in the middle, stretching for the end zone. Touchdown, Khalil Shakir. An 11-yard touchdown reception as he dragged two tacklers into the end zone. There's the snap. Has time. Going to roll out to his right. Max Crosby in pursuit, back across the field, complete to Gabe Davis for the touchdown.
This was a different Bills team, a different Josh Allen. He started the game 11 for 11, maybe even got to 13 for 13, if I remember correctly. And so after the Raiders start out hot, then they have a turnover. It's a short field for the Bills, and boom, it's Latavius Murray first. And that really sparks what looked to me to be a more aggressive second drive with Allen spreading the ball around. You heard the Dawson Knox TD there on the Bills radio network. There is actually a really impressive highlight for the Raiders in this game. Late first half, a goal line stand. But right away, the defense for Buffalo answers with its own three and out. Hand Josh Allen a short field. And even though he's under siege, we got to see his strength, his accuracy in the pass to Khalil Shakir. And so they're up by double figures at the half and really never look back. A 95-yard drive in the fourth quarter, too, was just the Bills flexing their muscles. You had Gabe Davis get into the action. He had a 40-yard catch. Damien Harris, who's a former Patriot, able to cap that drive. Once they were off to the races, there was no reining them in. Josh goes 31 of 37, 274 yards, three touchdowns. More importantly, no turnovers. And the Bills had the ball 20 more minutes at home, getting their, now the crowd is supposed to be quiet during offense, but getting their crowd kind of reminded what it is that this team is capable of. And I really love the fact that they were 5 of 7 in the red zone, because that's where you make your money, is in the red zone. So this is the Josh Allen that Sean McDermott loves to see.
When he does that, when he's willing to take what they give him and take those checkdowns, and then use his legs as well and in a decisive way, he makes it really hard to defend.
Honest to God, I didn't see any reaction. I didn't look at anything. I didn't turn on TVs. The thing is with this game, man, it gives you the lowest lows. It gives you the highest highs. But I love feeling how I felt last week. I really do. Huh. Because it makes the good feel that much better. You know, it forces us to be better. And I want to be the best I can be playing this game and being the best quarterback I can be for this Buffalo Bills. So I take the bad with the good. I understand it. And I'm just trying to let it fuel me and use it to my benefit.
You're thinking about all the mistakes we made last week. We can't let that carry over to this week. We always have that 24-hour rule. We're done talking about it on Tuesday. So it was just kind of ready to move on, wipe that bad taste out of our mouth. So it's definitely good to move on.
Yeah, able to take three possessions away from the Raiders, three takeaways. Josh Jacobs, by the way, this I could not believe. They tried to run him, but do you know he ended up with minus 2 yards rushing? I don't know if you had Josh Jacobs on your fantasy roster on Sunday. Oh, producer Jay just raised his hand. Minus 2 yards. Do you lose points for that?
Yeah, you get minus 0.2. He had a couple catches, which made up for it. But yeah, for his rushing yards, you'd finish with minus 0.2.
Minus 2 in real football. That's not something I expected. Now, they didn't run him a lot late because they were trying to make up ground and make up points. But when they tried to run him, I think he nearly had 10 carries, was close to 10 carries for minus 2 yards. The Bills were stout. They were fierce. They were tough on defense. They were able to get the ball back routinely to their star quarterback. And so now it's a completely different feel for Josh McDaniels with the offensive struggles. Not that they scored a ton of points in Denver either, but this was worse.
No matter what we do, we're going to have to be more productive than what we've done. So we can't really get ourselves started in a running game. And once you lose control of the line of scrimmage, it's difficult to have control of the game. So, it's not a good way to play on the road. Played the game backwards today. And after the first drive, first couple possessions there, they really controlled the game and controlled the line of scrimmage.
To beat a good team like that at their place, you got to play a lot better than that. And they just took advantage of us. It's simple little things, That'll be our week this week. We got to get those little things right, sure up those, and get ready for Pittsburgh, man. It's going to be a quick week.
The thing about the Raiders that makes me nervous is not so much Jimmy Garoppolo, right? Because we know he's fairly steady. I mean, you take the interceptions with him, that's just how it works, right? But the issue is that he's much more of a game manager. Okay, he's not going to dazzle. Can Davante Adams dazzle? Sure. Can they end up with some big plays from Josh Jacobs? Absolutely, just not in this one. What they lack is the ability to come from behind in a big way. And Denver's, it's week one, and so they did rally, and they were able to win by a single point. But you always take these season openers with a grain of salt. And when they fall into a big hole like this one, because Josh Jacobs is their number one option, their most dynamic playmaker next to Devontae, you can't be throwing to Devontae every snap, right? Because that would be too obvious and everybody knows that Davante Adams is amazing. They've got a couple of other guys who can do damage. They've got a couple of veterans, but it's really going to be Davante and Josh. And so when you get into a hole like this and you can't run Josh Jacobs because there's absolutely no room and you need to make up points quickly, not only does the offense become more one-dimensional, but Devontae is going to see a lot of double teams. Devontae is going to see a lot of traffic and a lot of action. And so you have to be able to find other guys who can step up. And so I just don't have a lot of confidence that once they fall behind, that they're able to stop the bleeding, so to speak, and then make up points in bunches. That's something that I don't see with the Raiders, though it could change. It's only in week number two. By the way, James Cook, the 123 yards rushing in this one from Buffalo. So huge deal there. I do love it when the Bills do not have Josh Allen as their starting running back. Yeah, that's not what they need. They don't need to have their starting running back or their starting quarterback be taking a lot of hits as we talked about. Sorry, I'm thinking about why I'm such a mess. They have played both their games on the road. Always stay with your first answer, Amy. I'm an idiot. Just can you scratch that, all of that, from the record and from the podcast, please, producer Jay. Yeah, I'm a dummy. Sorry, they did play in Denver last week, and now they played in Orchard Park on Sunday. Maybe we'll just let James Cook talk because your host is an idiot.
We could keep running the ball like that. It's going to open up the deep balls and, big plays. So just keeping it on the ground and staying balanced is great.
This is a big weapon for them. If Josh Allen can not get hit, so maybe along the lines of a Tua, right? Don't get hit. Like Tua's not getting hit. If you can stay upright and you can take less pounding on your physical body, if your uniform is clean, so to speak, well then when you've got a clean pocket and you've got time to throw, everything becomes a whole lot easier. That's not the same for the New York Giants, who were desperate. Well, desperation for them through six quarters. Also, to see, while we're talking about the Broncos, what the Commanders did, Sam Howell is settling into the role as their starting quarterback. And so a couple of overtime games as well. We're going to get to those next hour, some of the fantastic finishes. But straight ahead, the San Francisco 49ers facing a stiffer test in division, trying to go 2-0. And Matthew Stafford may not have Cooper Kupp, but he's got a rookie wide receiver that could threaten Cooper as WR1. If you've not seen this guy, it's time to learn his name.
If you don't root for this guy.
What's up, everybody? I'm Danny Parkins, based out of Chicago. This is my buddy Andrew Filippone. He's based out of Pittsburgh. You really got to check out our podcast, First and Pod.
Twice a week, we're going to break down the NFL after Thursday Night Football and Sunday Night Football. It's every team. It's every game. It's all 32 teams. We give you a complete picture, and we get into it. We don't kiss each other's fannies on this show.
New episodes of First and Pod available when you wake up every Monday and Friday morning throughout the football season in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
As easy as pie?
Sure. All you have to do is enter your license plate or VIN.
As easy as a stroll in the park.
Okay, then just answer a few questions and you'll get a real offer in seconds.
As easy as singing!
Why not? Schedule a pickup or drop-off and Carvana will pay you that amount right on the spot.
As easy as playing guitar.
Actually, I find that kind of difficult. But selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
Can be.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get an instant offer today.
What's wrong with you?
And it is a unique name, which I think you can remember. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Purdy's under center for the first time. Juwan Jennings goes in motion, lines up next to Trent Williams. Here's a stretch run to McCaffrey. A cutback inside the five, breaks the tackle all the way to the goal line. Christian McCaffrey, touchdown! San Francisco!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I think my head is screwed on straight and I'm ready to go. A tight NFC West battle, and you could see the fireworks from the very beginning, including Christian McCaffrey with that 14-yard touchdown and the call with Greg Papa on Niners Radio. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Christian with over 100 yards and that score, but he's got a little competition for flashiest in this game. Kyren Williams, he's all over the place early in the year for Matthew Stafford and the Rams. Going to pick it up some of the slack that's been left. And we know, courtesy of Kelly Stafford, but also with Matthew, that he's trying to find a rhythm with young guys, though it doesn't appear to be a problem, at least initially. So it's 10-10 in the second quarter, and then LA is able to put together an 88-yard drive. Just a reminder of what Matthew Stafford can and will do when he's healthy.
Stafford looking left, checks it down right. It is a catch by the back. It's Kyren, untouched to the end zone! How about the blocks by the Rams offensive line? They wash out the right side of that San Francisco defense. And Kyren Williams hits pay dirt again.
Snap back, handoff, gun run. Kyren, he fights for it. He's got it!
Kyren Williams! Touchdown, LA!
JB Long on Rams Radio. And on that second touchdown for Williams, do you know that drive, it had to culminate with him because the last five snaps of that drive went to him. That's the comfort level that Stafford already has with Kyren Williams. Though San Francisco is able to answer quick with a 75-yard drive in under 2 minutes, and Brock Purdy ends up with the rushing touchdown. So once again, they're tied. The difference, really, I would say it was maybe a turning point, kind of hanging it up in the air to see how the two teams would respond. Right, neither team was perfect, though when they get settled in, you can see that familiarity with one another. And certainly the coaches know each other very well. They're up two San Francisco field goals that come off of a pair of second half interceptions. And San Francisco also starts to air it out with Brock Purdy a little bit too. I kind of noticed that. They were heavy with Christian McCaffrey early, but able to use Brock Purdy and the arm. Now, a couple of times, there are throws that he would want back, to be sure. But the kicker late in the game is that they were using the air attack. They were using the passing attack to be able to set up the run.
First and 10, 49ers, the Ram 11-yard line. Purdy under center, backpedals, throws for Debo back in the game. Jennings never made the block, but Debo breaks a tackle. Debo takes it all the way out to the goal line. Touchdown, San Francisco!
We're going to watch this hard. We know Kyle's going to come down on us hard for us. You know, we missed a lot of opportunities out there. I feel like we left like four touchdowns out there. But, you know, that's what practice is for. That's what we're going to keep building week in and week out to get better in that area.
Yeah, that Debo rushing touchdown that you hear with Greg Papa put them up by 10, gave them enough of a margin that they were able to ride this one out. And he says, yeah, we probably left four touchdowns out there, though they did go 3 for 5 in the red zone and had nearly 160 rushing yards again. All three of their touchdowns, once they get inside the red zone, once they get up close, they're able to score with that offensive line and with the variety of looks they can give you on the ground. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, Brock overthrew a couple of guys. One of them was Juwan Jennings, and yet nobody's concerned about him, except for Brock, actually.
Well, I don't play quarterback. That's for a reason. I'll probably miss all the damn throws. But we just got to come back, you know, go to work, and come out firing Thursday.
In my eyes, you know, there's a couple opportunities obviously out there that, you know, I missed in terms of the deep ball and whatnot. So, but found a way to win.
Kyle Shanahan was most psyched about the defense and the way that they only gave up 2 field goals in the fourth. They also had a stop on fourth down. And a lot of that is it's tough, it's physical, it's hard-nosed. There's speed in there as well with Nick Bosa. And he feels like he's now rounding into game shape. He has 3 quarterback hits and also a tackle for loss.
I'm not too concerned about it. I feel good. I think I needed a couple games to get my body into football shape for sure. You can't simulate it. I think now that I'm through 2 and I've had some pretty good output for this one, I think I'm only going to be up from here.
So the Niners move to 2-0. The Rams fall to 1-1, though, to a man, and especially the leadership. They're excited about the way the young guys are coming together. Get to know the name Puka Nacua. 15 catches in this game, 147 yards. Why does it matter? Well, because it's a brand new single game receiving mark for a rookie. 15 catches. No rookie receiver has ever had that many catches in one single game, but also has never had back-to-back 10-plus receptions to start his career.
As far as getting open, he's winning his matchup. You know, if he gets a man matchup, he's winning. And doing a great job of separating and catching the ball.
He did a great job. You know, he's tough. He's a physical competitor. I thought that showed up. He continued to battle all the way through the end. I mean, he's the epitome of what we want to be as Rams. I love Puka Nacua, and I was really pleased with him today.
I think I could be amused listening to Sean McVay say the name Puka Nacua over and over again. And actually, I did hear Puka as well talk about it. Was listening to the Westwood One postgame show after Sunday Night Football on my drive into work. And he really downplayed it. Just, hey, I want to be available when Matthew Stafford comes to me. I want to make plays. I just want to do what they're asking me to do so I can continue to stay involved and get the reps. But yeah, you're hearing names that you've not heard before. And without Cooper Kupp, kind of like the Aaron Rodgers situation, it's next man up. Now, in the case of Aaron, you've got to back up that people are familiar with. In the case of Cooper dealing with his hamstring injury, Puka Nacua and Kyren Williams are the guys that Matthew Stafford's relying on early.
I love Puka Nacua.
So good. Where are you tempted to overreact? On Twitter, After Hours CBS, also on our Facebook page. John says the Patriots are in some trouble at 0-2. They play at the Jets and then at Dallas. Could easily be in an 0-4 hole. Yeah, although let's not get ahead of ourselves. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.